Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Lord, in need of the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Continue with hymn 472. Please be seated.
Thank you.
please rise for confession and absolution, which is inserted in the front of our hymnal. Do humbly confess and lament all your sins and declare so by saying, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that God, your merciful Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Savior, pardons all your offenses and declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Are you resolved as long as God gives you life to live that life into his fear and to his glory? Then declare so by saying, I am resolved.
I am resolved.
Then let it be for you according to your faith. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's responsive psalm is Psalm 75, which is found on page 139 in the front of the hymnal. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. When I shall receive the congregation,
I will judge uprightly.
The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved.
I
said unto the fools, deal not foolishly.
And to the wicked, lift not up the horn.
Lift not up your horn on high, for promotion cometh neither from the east,
nor from the west, nor from the south.
But God is the judge.
He putteth down one and setteth up another.
For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But I will declare forever. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off.
But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted.
And please be seated. This morning's confessional reading, continuing from Luther's large catechism, the fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Let us, for God's sake, finally learn that young folk should put everything else aside and concentrate first of all on this commandment. If they wish to serve God with really good works, they must do what pleases father and mother or those who have authority over them in their parents' place. Every child knows this commandment and follows it. To begin with, has the great inner comfort of being able, in the face of all who are involved with their own self-chosen works, to say with a sense of joy and satisfaction, see, this work of mine pleases my God in heaven very much, that I know for sure. Let the rest, the entire crowd, come forward to boast of their many great, painful, and difficult works, and let us see if they can come up with a single one that is greater and nobler than obedience of father and mother, which God has commanded, and thereby set next in rank to obedience to his own majesty. Where the word and the will of God are in use and are being observed, there nothing should count for more than the word and the will of our parents, provided that these two remain subordinate to obedience toward God and do not run counter to the earlier commandments. For this reason, you should heartily rejoice and thank God that he has chosen and equipped you to do for him such a precious and pleasing work. Even though many consider it most trifling and contemptible, make certain that you regard it as a great and precious, not because of your own worthiness, but because it is set within the jewel, within the holy shrine, the word and the commandment of God. Oh, what a price wouldn't the most harsh and demanding Roman Catholic orders and all of their monks and nuns pay if by means of all their religious exercises they could bring before God a single work performing in response to his command And if they stand with a happy heart before him and say, "Now, I know what this work really pleases you," where will these poor, miserable people be able to hide when, in the presence of God and in all the world, their faces turn red with shame when they are confronted by some child that has lived up to this commandment and have to confess that despite their whole lifetime of effort, they are not worthy to offer that child a drink of water? Serves them right for letting themselves be tricked by the devil's deceits and for trampling God's commandment underfoot, so that they may now torture themselves with works of their own contrivance, only to be rewarded with ridicule and loss of their labor. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." So far the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do the others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we're awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, as also you do." So far, the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' The wise answered and said, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward cameth also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come.'" So far the Holy Gospel. This morning we confess the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And please be seated. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Today is an important day on the church calendar. It's a day of prayer. It's a day of repenting for the many failures and sins of the past year, praying to God for forgiveness, and of course, for help. This last Sunday of the church year, at the same time, reminds us that there will come a last day for the world, when our Lord will return for judgment. This is indeed a sobering thought, because it indicates that some people will find the door to eternal life closed, never to open again. So the question is, are we ready for Christ? I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm not talking about those who never heard about Jesus Christ. No. Once again, the question, are we ready for Christ? A part of our preparedness lies in the sharing message of the gospel. And that opportunity is now. On the last day when Christ descends with all of his holy angels and the fiery curtain covers the earth, it'll be too late to proclaim the message of Christ's redeeming love. There will be no time, no opportunity to speak to a loved one or friend about the forgiveness ready for all people in Jesus Christ. There will be no opportunity for a wayward child to return and say, "Father, forgive me." There will be only the appearance of Christ. And he's not returning as Savior, but he's returning as Judge. In this morning's gospel, all 10 virgins had all the outward appearances of being ready. They belonged to the group waiting for the bridegroom. This is why I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about believers. Those who do not know Christ are certainly not waiting for the Lord's return. And notice that each of the virgins has a lamp. They all have the same equipment. But five were wise, five were foolish. Like many today who attend church, they all seem to have the outward appearances of belonging to Christ. But some are wise and some are foolish. Some are ready for Christ and others are not. These 10 virgins represent all the people who busy themselves with the church. They have Bibles under their arms. They have crosses around their necks. Outward evidence that they belong. But all of these are only outward marks. This morning we ask, are we ready? And sometimes we get answers like, yes, I'm a member. I've been a member of this church for 30 years. I come to the Lord's table regularly. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor with initials behind my name, MDiv, PhD, THD. Are these mere outward signs? Or are they evidences of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? This morning's gospel tells us that while the bridegroom tarried, all 10 virgins slumbered and slept. All of them were asleep. And yes, at times, even those with Bibles under their arms, with crosses around their necks, with pastors with titles and initials behind their names, they fall asleep. And then someone shouted, at the most unexpected moment, "The bridegroom is coming." All 10 virgins jump up, and they begin to trim their lamps. At the most unexpected time, Holy Scripture tells us, Jesus Christ will return. Will there be a quick jumping up? Turning very quickly to the 23rd Psalm because we know at least where that is. Will we put on our religious front? These are difficult, piercing, pointed questions. But we must ask ourselves such questions in order to be alert to our responsibility to Jesus Christ. With all the outward marks and all the signs, with their lamps in their hands, five virgins were not ready. Their lamps were empty. The oil was not there. They were not ready for the moment when the bridegroom appeared. So they did the natural thing. They asked the others to share their oil. But having only enough oil for themselves, they advised them to go and buy some oil. But there was no time. Because while they made their way, the bridegroom came and the door was shut. So what's the lesson for us this morning? Well, we all know the answer. Jesus Christ will return. Holy Scripture says that he's coming soon. And yes, at times our lives may seem to be empty until they are filled with Jesus Christ. It is Christ, the very righteousness of God, who comes to us to make our life of imperfection a life of perfection. It is a life that has lamps trimmed, ready for the time of Christ's coming to bring glory and honor to him. Once again, as your pastor, I assure you in God's holy name of our one and only hope that will never fail. Once again this morning, I point you to Jesus Christ. May each of us be given the faith and the fortitude to behold that cross and understand what that cross means, to join in confession of our faith. Now, although they are words of a man, it is true. Yet, these human words are the closest to divine scripture, and that is the confession of Martin Luther. That is his declaration of loyalty to the Lord. In your bulletin, you have an insert, the second article. You probably remember from your confirmation days how you had to memorize this. Good. But together. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity. This is most certainly true. May the Holy Spirit keep us in this one true faith. It is here in church, in our worshiping together, that we edify one another, that we keep our lamps burning and hear of our Savior's love. It is here, this morning in worship, that the oil is given out. This is the hour that you and I should prepare for the coming of Christ. We have the opportunity now to continue in the word of truth and life, which makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This Christ, who gave everything, who has redeemed us that we might live unto him and serve him, is coming. And as we close with the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. Let us pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love with the heavenly feast which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our liturgy on page 35 with the Te Deum Laudamus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us with thy mighty power, that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings be ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated. Take the blood of Christ.
God strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
please rise and join me in the Psalm of Thanksgiving, the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this blessed and life-giving gift. And we earnestly pray that of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through this holy meal of faith toward you, in love toward all mankind, in patience under the trials that we must face in this life, and in the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Wednesday in the Bible study. Tuesday evening Bible study until after Easter. So, anything else?
I have the Christmas tree in my truck sitting in my garage, so whenever we want to get ready to put it up.